Today on Real Radio.
Paul said it again. I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That is it all. That's everything.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been exploring the first part of chapter 3, which we'll continue to do so today. The context so far is that the Gentile and the Messianic Jew are now worshiping together because Messiah has come. Let's continue in this series called The Mysterious Work of God. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Just when you think maybe I got this thing I kind of see where God's going and I kind of understand how this thing works out, he throws you a curveball and you can't figure out one way from the other. And he always keeps us on our knees and keeps us asking, keeps us wondering. God does a mysterious work, and Paul is going to talk about the mysterious or the mystery workings of God in Ephesians chapter 3. We touched on it last week. We'll dive into it right now with the time remaining. And Paul says there, chapter 3, book of Ephesians, verse 1, he says, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me for you, how that by revelation He made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in few words." He goes on verse 4. We won't teach on verse 4 tonight, but he goes on to verse 4. "By which, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ." God does a mysterious work. Salvation is absolutely the most amazing thing that God, I think, has done. I don't think it's any big deal for God to create the universe. He only did it in a few days. No big deal. There was nobody, of course, around to mess with him at that time. He was just there, and he says, "You know what? I want the moon right there. I want the sun over here. And I want this." Listen, Monday, on my day off, we took an excursion to Catalina Island. Hadn't been there in like a couple of 400 years. It's been forever. Got off the boat, put on the mask, snorkel, and fins, got in the water. And you know what our state fish is? California state fish is the California Garibaldi. Brilliant orange fish. They just come right up there, right up to you. They know that they're protected by a $1,500 fine if you touch them. And they kind of flirt with you, and they're coming. And at one point, there were a couple of gals floating around on the raft, and we were underneath snorkeling around. And there was a big congregation of these fish. Beautiful, brilliant fish, and we're chasing them, and they just let you get like 5 inches from grabbing them, and they just know exactly what they're doing. Just teasing you like you can't believe. And it's just such a great thing. Just a neat time. Beautiful. Just, you know, an hour or so from here. Great time. And God is the one who's done all that creative work. No problem for him to create a Garibaldi. It would take us a year just to try to match the color of that guy, because when he moves to the water, he kind of changes in shades of orange. Brilliance. God just does it, speaks it, and it happens. Salvation. Well, he did it in a moment's time on the cross, and it's a done deal. But to work out the effect, the actual effect of you and I living as a Christian and the power of being a Christian, it doesn't take 7 days. Takes an entire lifetime. Takes an entire lifetime. There was a certain person in our household. I'm not allowed to mention her name. She gets all upset if I mention her from the pulpit, and I haven't done it in a long time. I hear about it for like a couple of days, but she just recently got back from the trip with all you guys. And it was really precious because just no big deal. Something happened, which is very normal, common, and she started crying at home. What are you crying for? What's the matter? I live in the house with three girls, and I'm going to be building a house outside behind my house soon. What's the matter? I just thought that I changed. You know, that this trip would have changed me. I said, this trip did change. It changed you. It's going to change you. But I've not seen a change. Well, you've been home a few days. It takes. It's going to be time. The stuff is still bouncing around your head. It's got to sink down in your heart. It's kind of cooking a little bit, and it's going to happen. It takes time. But she wanted it to happen now. I went on this trip, and now I'm back, and let's see the difference. You know, let's raise some debt around here. It doesn't happen that way. It takes a lifetime. It's a mysterious work that God does in us. It's not going to happen overnight. We accept Jesus Christ on Monday, and then on Tuesday we're wondering, what on earth is going on inside of me? It's a process of growth and maturity. It is a mystery. How God would save us and how He does continue to work with us. We looked at it last week when Paul said, for this reason, it really means all of chapter 2 and the incredible things that he's saying, that in us dwells the Holy Spirit of God. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ. That we are, in fact, verse 21 showed us last time, a holy temple. Of course, we mentioned to you that the word means the very holy of holies of God. You are so precious in the sight of God. But listen to Paul in the strange, radical view that Paul the Apostle had. Now listen to this. He says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now he's not complaining. I am in prison. He's not saying, I'm in prison for you Gentiles. But that's exactly why he was in prison. Did you know that? Paul was not in prison for being a Christian. That's not why he's in prison. He wrote this book to the Ephesian church in prison. But why was he in prison? Not because he was a Christian. He was in prison because he was ministering to the Gentiles. Us. Non-Jews. Paul was in jail because of us. So Paul says, hey, I, Paul, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. Now, I have never been in prison. I've been to a prison to visit a guy in prison. And I don't ever want to go to prison. I mean, I felt like I had lost all my rights just going through that door and getting searched to go see this guy. I had to take my clothes off? That's a real, you know, will you come see me again? No, I will not. Come see you again. It's a little drafty. Weird, man. And strange things going on in there. I don't want to go to prison. Wouldn't want to be there. Paul's having no problem. He's writing a book of absolute encouragement. From where? From prison. How does he do this? Listen, I want to suggest something to you. Paul, according to church history, was around 5 feet tall, 5'1", 5'0". Small little guy. He had bow-legged knees, big hooked nose, eyes close together, bald head, fairly long hair in the back, squint all the time, and was, according to historians, he oozed this kind of sap out of his eyes. Couldn't see very well. Kind of looked like a mole, you know. Man, this guy writes awesome letters. We can't wait. We've seen his posters and the people are out to get him. And we heard he's coming to town. And we've read his letters. The guy's powerful. And Paul, the Bible says, Paul couldn't speak very good. Not a very good speaker. Kind of ugly. He shows up there. He's in prison. And I, being, if I were a little short guy like that and being beat up for Jesus Christ and all this stuff, and here he is standing there, you know what? I would think I'd be freaking out right about now. Paul, don't you get it? You are a prisoner of the Roman government. You are chained to men. There's bars all around you. It's a rotten place. And Rome kills guys like you. And what kind of a ministry can you have underground? And who's going to read these letters anyway? People don't read anymore. You know, they've got an attention span of like 3 minutes. Paul, it's not going to work. And Paul, he was so short, but he had such a great view. He says, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. What a trip. How do you stop someone like this? I'm not a prisoner of Rome. Paul saw everything that was going on in his life as though God had ordained it. And God had. And how about us? What is going on in your life? Can you explain it? I can't explain it. But God's in my life. Whatever is going on in my life, the God of the universe has a vested interest in what's happening for my good, although I can't explain it. He is preparing me for something. And God's preparing you for something. There's things that you can't understand, but He's doing it. But Paul has this great view. And what he could see in his heart and mind made up for what he couldn't see with his eyes. He saw God able to do everything. The guy even writes to the Philippian church. He says, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what condition was he in when he wrote that? He was not a free man. I, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. That's the way he saw it. In every situation, he saw God in everything. Some of you are bored, I think. You might be bored of hearing this verse. And I don't see how you can ever get bored of hearing this verse when it says that we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purposes. That's pretty good news when you're going through it, isn't it? In Romans 8:38, the Bible says, Paul said it again, I am convinced, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities or powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, depth, nor any created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. That is it all. That's everything. You have a problem tonight? Romans 8:38, start there. Pray it into your life. How do you apply the Word of God? Take Romans 8:38 and pray it until you can memorize it. And God will work out the truth in your life. It'll work. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. Listen to this. This is the kind of guy we're dealing with here, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, actually the word suggests since then you've been raised with Christ. He's like a coach. All right, girls. Remember your coach in football, guys? All right, girls, we're going to run today. He never called us men. He always called us girls. And when we were really goofing up, he'd say, what's the matter, honey? Want to take a walk? Paul would say, since you're raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The word actually is besetting again and again your mind. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. That's the kind of guy Paul was. I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And those unbelieving Roman guards had to sit there and hear all this kind of incredible victory and power and joy all the time. This word, by the way, in Colossians 3:2, about mind. The word means that we are to set our mind on things that are above. We're to do this as Christians. Are you a Christian tonight? Am I a Christian tonight? This is what we are to do. We are to exercise our mind, is what the word means. It means to entertain the mind with what is acceptable. I don't know if you know this or not. You know the word amusement? Amusement park? It's pretty funny. Amusement park. Amusement sounds like great. Man, let's go slap down, you know, $35 and go to Disneyland. There's nothing amusing about that. That's rather sobering. But after you get over the sting of it all and you get in there, you become amused. You see, to muse is a good thing. To muse, we were hearing at the close of the communion service tonight, we heard the instrumental, the music being played, and we were musing. You didn't know it, did you? But that's what you were doing. You were musing all over this place tonight. And that is, oh, Lord, oh, I'm just thinking about your goodness, God. Thank you. Taking communion tonight, God, we're not even worthy to be called your children. Thank you, God. You're so gracious, long-suffering, and free. That's musing. You're musing. But to amuse is to unplug your brain. You ever seen your TV at like 3:45 in the morning? It's just, that's amuse. It's nothingness. Amusement park is a place where people have no brains. That's what it means. You're not thinking, it's where you've gone to totally unplug. You're just gone. And that, where do you want to go? Want to go over there? Amusement park. That's what it means. Amuse. No, the Lord says, set your mind on things that are above. Entertain things that are heavenly in your thoughts. What's godly? What's God doing? That's what we're to be doing as a believer. Philippians 4:8. Paul says again, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, pure, lovely, of a good report, if there's any virtue, if you're ever in prison, meditate on these things. If you're ever behind on your payments, meditate on these things. If you've been told today that you have cancer, meditate on these things. God is never idle. He's never sleeping on the job. He's always listening. He's always waiting. And He'll fill our thoughts with things that are precious to Him. But you can't stop a man like this. And this is the view. Paul's an example of what kind of perspective we should have as a Christian. And the same Holy Spirit that dwelt inside him lives inside you. Lives inside me. And so the Lord always comes back to me and says, I'm no respecter of persons, Jack. Yes, sir. Then what's your problem? I'm unbelieving, sir. And then he says, just follow me. Listen to this. How can he live like this? This guy's incredible. He says that he's a prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. What incredible freedom. That's why he was in prison, was for these guys. And listen, he was at absolute liberty while he was bound in prison physically. And he says, it's for you Gentiles. And the tradition of Judaism, the traditions in the Mishnah and the traditional Jew believed that the Gentiles, we're not going to deny their existence. We see Gentiles, they're everywhere. And when we see them, we'll pull our robes in and we won't touch a Gentile. We know they're alive. Yes, we know that God created them, a Jew would say. But we know why God created them. And they believed that Jews were created to be fuel for hell. They kind of like made it hotter. That's why God made Gentiles, to make the flames hotter. Well, how does that make you feel? But that's what they thought. Paul's in prison because he ministered to the Gentiles, knowing that God wanted to save the Gentiles. Paul was free to minister to the Gentiles because he knew that what God knew, and that was God loved them. God loved us. And that love transcends all of the racial, all of the social barriers that man can put up. Last Sunday, there was a guy walking out of this church, and he was a black guy. And I don't know why, the moment I saw him, he just seemed familiar to me. So he was walking by, big smile, how you doing? I said, well, how you doing? Gave him a hug, and his mother, I think it was mom or I don't know who, whatever. Anyway, they would just walked on. I was thinking, that guy seems familiar. Well, whatever. But you know, this is neat. I'm white. He's black. Bible in hand. Who cares? You know, the blood is red. And then it dawned on me, this guy's on a TV program. He's on one of the real super funny programs that are on right now. And he was visiting the church. But the thing was just, oh, just, hey, God bless you. God bless you. How you doing? Great. God, just, you know, neat. And I love that. That's what Jesus does. He breaks down all that garbage. And Paul saw the Gentile, just like the Jew, needing Christ Jesus. No problem. But that's why he was in prison. Other people didn't see it that way, but he was so free. Paul wasn't in bondage. He was free to minister. Are you in bondage tonight? Can you walk like Jesus walked? Are you free to walk like Jesus walked? Are you free to walk like Paul walked? What about doing the things that Jesus did? Paul strived and longed to do the things that Jesus did. Paul says, listen, you guys, can you imagine? Hey, this is what you want to say. Paul said, hey, all you guys, follow me. He said, walk like me. And he turned and he walked away, and everybody walked like Paul. They did. He would walk following Christ, and they would follow right behind him. And Paul says, walk like me as I follow the Lord. Because that was Paul's passion, is to follow Jesus. So the people followed him. And the beautiful thing is, you quickly found out that Paul was not in bondage. Paul was such a radical born-again Jew that when a bunch of Gentiles were around, Paul would first of all look very discreetly, wouldn't like say, hold it, I've got to check if there's any Jewish brethren around. No, he just kind of, And here's what he's thinking. Read the book of Romans, the last three chapters. Paul looks around and he's looking. Hey, I don't see any Gentiles. I mean, I don't see any Jewish brethren around here. And I can smell right now, listen, barbecue, lobster, clams. They got a great pork roast going on over here. And I don't see any of the brethren around here. So I'm going to dive into this stuff. And Paul was as kosher as you can get.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from the first three verses of Ephesians 3. We'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio in this series called The Mysterious Work of God. Now, before we wrap up today's program, we want to take a moment to bring a critical issue to your attention. Now, as you know, November 4th is Election Day for all of us, and in California, we have an issue on the ballot that will affect all churches and believers. Even if you don't live in California, it's important to understand this proposition because, unfortunately, sooner rather than later, all states will have to deal with its issues. Proposition 8 will determine whether homosexual marriage will be an authorized union sanctioned by the state. Remember, if Proposition 8 is defeated, the implications are more serious than most of us realize. So we've set up a special website to provide answers to questions that you may have, or to point friends and relatives that live in California. Even if you don't live in California, visit realradioactive.org. And you'll be able to click on the website and see videos of Pastor Jack answering questions sent in by viewers and listeners. Again, if you don't live in California, still visit realradioactive.org and forward that information to your friends and family that do live in this part of the country. Again, realradioactive.org. Get in touch with us by telephone. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR. Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. And remember, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.